Do you hear them scream?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Do you hear them cry?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Do you see them die?
Go vegan, go vegan.
Please let us all.
Hello, welcome to Vegan Nation.
Go vegan.
In this episode, I'm featuring a couple snippets, vegan debates. Vegan Nation is an informational program featuring vegan music, news, events, and interviews about the vegan evolution revolution happening worldwide, manifesting a paradigm of beauty, joy, peace, wellness, liberation, health, and sustainability. The views in this program do not necessarily reflect the views and opinions of the station nor its management. Vegan Nation has been on air since 2015. Much thanks to our listeners for tuning in. Here's some of those snippets in the faith of free speech, compassion, justice, and nonviolence. Thank you for tuning in. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Here's David Rams, and David Rams is located in England, UK.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to another live stream, and today I'm joined by a very special guest, Cam Waters, passionate Christian and director of the incredible film exploring Jesus' legacy, Christspiracy. Cam, welcome back to the channel.
Thanks, David. Stoked to be here.
Good to have you back, man. We're here to talk about Charlie Kirk, but our main reason for doing this specific video is since what happened to Charlie Kirk, my video on him that I posted about 4 months ago, about his deleted debate with a vegan, about 300,000 or 400,000 people found that video over the last week, just over a week. And you know, a lot of people are asking a lot of questions. And so I thought it might be a nice idea for us to come together with Cam, who is like a bit of our resident Bible expert, because Charlie made some biblical and religious arguments against veganism in that debate. And I thought it'd be great to bring Cam in and to dig into that a little bit deeper. So, Cam, thanks for agreeing to come on and do this. I think it's going to be quite interesting. And I think you're uniquely placed to talk about this with making Christspiracy, but there's more to that story, isn't there? Why don't you give us a bit of an idea? Because when I asked you about this, you actually said yes, not just because of the biblical stuff, but there's more of a story for you here. It's more personal for you as well, isn't it? So maybe let's start there.
Yeah, for sure. So the issue with Charlie is ultimately such a big thing. It's buzzing everywhere and it's so tragic. But it deeply affected me at a personal level because my little brother was actually murdered at gunpoint 2 years ago. And it was on his 16th birthday on August 30th, and that just happened. And so my family, for the last 2 years, August is a really tough month, especially the end of August going into September. And so we were processing some grief and going through all that. And the next thing you know, you see this happening broadcast across, you know, the internet everywhere. And needless to say, it caused a lot of, you know, just challenging moments for my family. I'm still walking with my mom through it right now. And so I want to lead with saying that I'm very sensitive and empathetic to the tragedy itself. And nothing that I'm saying here by any means is to attack Charlie the person. I actually feel so much sympathy and just heartache for the whole situation. But it's more so to engage the argument, which is what Charlie loved to do. And so love him or hate him, wherever anyone stands on that spectrum, the one thing that we can all agree on is he loved to debate. He loved to challenge ideas. And that's all that I want to do. And in fact, I had intentions to go to a Charlie event and challenge him on this debate after the debate that he did with our friend Michael, who we're going to be responding to here. Mm-hmm. And Michael and I connected with Michael after this debate to ask him about the process of getting the mic and getting there to actually have a conversation with him, because I wanted to address these very issues. But unfortunately, that didn't happen. And now it can't happen, which is really, really sad. But I think this is the best thing that we can do to really continue this conversation. And just so that everyone to further express the, I guess, sensitivity to it all is even Michael, who debated Charlie, he was the one that texted me first about the incident that happened. Mm-hmm. And his text was, hey, man, we need to pray for his family. And so I think really the side of the argument that we're going to be sitting on is one of full compassion for Charlie's situation, his family's situation, but also another type of a compassion that we're going to talk about with these arguments that we're going to engage around scripture and animals.
Absolutely, man. Yeah. And we were fully on board with this. That's why you agreed to do it, is that I was all the same as you to say that we're not going to come out here and dunk on a guy who's not around to defend himself. No matter what disagreements we had, no matter what you believe about him, he sat there and said, with a sign that literally said, prove me wrong. And ultimately, you know, that's what we're going to do. But it's not by any means, like I said, some sort of dunk type deal. For anyone who's wondering, this is the video that we're going to be looking at. It's Charlie Kirk deleted this debate with a vegan. I posted this up. This is a debate that is no longer on his channel. It was removed. It was unlisted, I think. I think it was taken off of his public page. Should we get into it, Cam?
Let's do it.
Most of the pushback is, didn't Jesus eat fish? Things like that, you know, but God put them here for us. And what about dominion? And what about, that's been where people have been really pushing back. So that's what we're going to do. So I'm going to play the video.
I'm going to interject here. The vegan who is debating Charlie Kirk is Michael Bilotic, CEO and creator of The Evolved Method. He is a self-improvement coach focusing on men.
And I believe that we were designed by God not needing to eat meat.
What scripture are you referencing?
Genesis 1:29.
Right, and you mean the scripture says God gave dominion over the animals?
No, the one that says I've given you every seed-bearing plant, fruit, and tree on this earth, and for you that shall be meat.
Right, but again, just to continue a little further, to be clear, in the Noahic covenant, it does allow for animals.
I'm aware. So after the flood.
And just to be clear, doesn't the law give guidance on how to kill animals?
So I'm going to pause there because he kind of bounced over a point, gish galloped a little bit, didn't he? Kind of, What do they call it? Tap dancing, where we were on one point and then we moved. So he brought up that thing about the Noahic covenant, and then he said that was after the flood and then he got cut off. So do you want to elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah. Well, firstly, I want to touch on Genesis 1:29, which is what Michael led with. And what's interesting about this verse is I'm pretty confident in saying your average Christian doesn't even realize this verse exists in the Bible. And I didn't for a long time in my journey as a follower of Jesus, being raised in the Bible Belt in the deep American South, right? Never once did I hear a preacher read this verse on stage. Charlie clearly doesn't even really know what he's referring to when he brings up that verse. He jumps to dominion because he thinks, oh, Genesis, dominion, God gave us animals to control, basically, is what the average Christian believes most of the time. And I don't even think this is like Charlie's fault, right? Just as much as it wasn't my fault for so long being raised in a tradition that just doesn't address this issue. So to make that clear, in the first chapter of Genesis, the opening of the whole story of the greatest or most sold, most popular book of all time starts with a vegan paradise. And it's very clear in such that in Genesis 1:26 through 28, God does grant dominion so that humans have dominion over animals and the earth. But this word dominion, it sure. Essentially means stewardship. It's the same way a parent has dominion over their child as God or a creator is having dominion over us, which isn't a license to abuse, kill, or let alone eat. Mm-hmm. And we know this is clear because in the literal following verse after dominion is granted, that's 1:26 through 28, 1:29, God prescribes a plant-based diet. It says, herbs and fruits shall be yours for food, speaking to the humans. So we know that dominion, which Charlie immediately jumped to, has no room for abusing, exploiting animals for really any purpose, but especially not food. In the scripture, it's very clear that animals are endowed with the same ruach and nefesh, which are two words for soul, spirit, breath of life, the distinguishing factor that human beings have over plant life and rocks and other things within the world. Right. And not only that, it goes a step further in the writings of Solomon. Solomon wrote in his work, Ecclesiastes, a book that's in our canonical text in the Bible, if you open it right now, in chapter 3, verses 18 through 19, he says that man has no advantage over the animals, which is this true dominion stewardship idea. We don't have an advantage over them that we can use against them. In fact, he goes on to say that just as an animal dies, so dies humans. What happens to one happens to the other. And he says both of them share the ruach, the breath of life. Now, a lot of our modern translations will translate that to both have the same breath, but it's really this word, this deeper word that means breath of life, spirit, soul.
One thing he said at the end here, that where he got cut off, is when he said that the Noahic covenant gives permission to kill animals. And then Michael here, the vegan on the right-hand side, guys, he says, but that's after the fall, and then he gets cut off. What do you think Michael was about to elaborate on there when he said, but that was after the fall?
Yeah, so this idea in Genesis 9 is what many will often jump to in defense of animal consumption from a biblical perspective. And it's the idea that after the flood, up until the flood, humanity, or at least the righteous of humanity, were vegan. They didn't touch animals for food in that way at all. And Noah, right, in fact, the one who rescues all the animals, he doesn't even necessarily rescue humans, which is interesting. He rescues all of the animal life onto his ark, and he survives this cataclysm, right? And after he exits the ark, there's a scripture in Genesis 9 where it says that God then grants Noah, everything that moves shall be yours for food, just as I gave you the plants, now I give you everything that moves. Now, there's a whole distinction there with what it's actually saying in the Hebrew. But before even jumping to that, what I feel Michael was probably going to touch on is, regardless of the minutiae that we can get into, this is a concession for a fallen world, meaning there was a paradise, and in that paradise, there was no killing unnecessarily for our needs like food. There was an abundance of nutrition and everything that we needed in the plant kingdom. However, man's folly, misuse, sin, however you want to categorize it, depending on your worldview, led to a world that didn't have that same, you know, respect for life. But there were the few righteous who did, and Noah was one of them. So after this flood happens, the way the story records it is that Noah then is granted to eat every moving thing. The Hebrew word there is a word remus in Hebrew, which literally means bugs. It's a separate category from cattle, fish, and birds, the things that we commonly eat today from animal agriculture. So the Genesis 9 reference that everyone brings up, well, God gave us everything that moves to eat. I often throw that back and say to everyone who's worried about, you know, the World Economic Forum feeding us the bugs, they want us to eat the bugs, you know?
you will eat the bugs?
You will eat the bugs. Technically, if you're throwing out Genesis 9 as a justification, then you're doing the same thing. You just don't know it. You're advocating for bug eating.
Let's crack on then. All right, let's go back a little bit.
So again, just to continue a little further, to be clear, in the Noahic covenant, it does allow for animals.
I'm aware. So that, after the flood.
And just to be clear, doesn't the law give guidance on how to kill animals? Like how to kill animals in certain ways? The Bible is explicitly pro-meat eating, so much so that they would kill an animal as a sacrifice to God, or kill the fatted calf in celebration of something.
I mean, when Jesus came, he ended the sacrifice.
Cam, you want to chip in?
First of all, kudos to Michael, man. What a great just getting straight to the point with that response. I mean, you can really just end it there for Christians especially. But to take it a step further, he says that the Bible is the most pro-meat book there is. What I always tell people is the exact opposite, and I believe that my position has more evidence to support it. And that is, every Christian that comes up on this debate, oftentimes when I'm faced with rebuttals, they respond to me by saying, you're cherry-picking scripture to support your position that you don't want to kill animals, or that we shouldn't eat animals, or whatever, right? Well, the idea of cherry picking implies that I'm taking something out of context to support my thesis, and I'm taking this one little clip. When in fact, the exact opposite happens, because when you support meat eating or flesh consumption with the Bible, why? Because what is the greatest context of scripture one can take? Literally the beginning of the book to the end of the book. That's full context. And the Bible starts in a pacifist, peaceful, nonviolent, vegan garden paradise. And it ends in the prophetic kingdom of heaven, which Jesus came to establish, where not only are humans vegan again, as Revelation 22:2 states that we return to eating the fruits of the trees and the herbs, etc. Revelation 21:4 says there will be no more death, no more tears, no more pain. But it's very explicit that even the animals, carnivorous animals, stop killing each other as well. With this lion will lay with the lamb analogy, the child will lay with the serpent, the bull will eat straw, or the ox will eat straw. I'm sorry, the lion will eat straw like the ox. These allusions point to this picture where it's a return to this Edenic paradise that's mentioned in the beginning. So that's the full context of scripture. Mm-hmm. Like Michael said earlier, everything else in the middle is the fall of man working out morality and right. God's will.
You're tuned into Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Molly Narrow in Worcester, Massachusetts. I'm featuring a snippet of the video from the video channel of David Rams, and he has a guest on, Cam Waters, and they are discussing the debate that vegan Michael Bilotic had with Charlie Kirk. I'm featuring just a short snippet of David Rams' three-hour video reacting to the debate. We'll be taking a short break, and then we'll hear more of this video of this debate, and I have a very short snippet of another one also. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. The title of David Ram's YouTube video is, quote, "Was Charlie Kirk wrong? Christian responds to deleted video." Welcome back from the break. Thank you very much for joining us on Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlena, Massachusetts. Let's continue our program. This is Cam Waters speaking on David Ram's video channel discussing Michael Bilotic's debate with Charlie Kirk. This was in 2025.
All throughout the Old Testament that we have at the Hebrew Bible, there is a war between the prophets and the priests. Prophets as in right. orators of God, not monetary prophets. But right. there's a war between the prophets.
There's also
the
a war there as well.
There is a war of that also. They go hand in hand. Hey, the cattle, capital, money, capital means of the head of animals, money and killing animals is tied together just as it was in the temple. All of it feeds together. But essentially, these priests were making a lot of monetary profits on the backs of killing animals for sacrifice in exchange for forgiving others' sins.
Right.
But in the same books all throughout, you have the prophets condemning this practice and calling out the priests. One of the most famous being Jeremiah. Jeremiah 7 verse 22 says God never commanded sacrifices. So he contradicts the priests and what they're saying in the Bible. And people will say, well, wait a minute, but then are you saying part of the Bible is the lie? No, I'm not saying that. That's actually what Jeremiah said, because one chapter later in 8 verse 8, Jeremiah says the lying pen, what you write with, of the scribes has falsified the Torah. And he's ranting about how animal sacrifice isn't of God, that the priest's skirts are stained with blood, that the temple is going to be destroyed because of their abominations. And he's not the only one. Hosea 6:6 says, I desire mercy, not sacrifice, obedience and love for God rather than burnt offerings. And Jesus echoes all of this in his ministry. Right. Right. So what I want to say to everyone who says, well, doesn't it say that literally how to do this? It does say that. But there are prophets who are contradicting it and calling it out all the way up to Jesus, who, like Michael said, flat out ends it. So right. in the book of John, he says the enemy or the thief, referring to Satan or the adversary, comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Now, when you go into the Greek of what's actually being said there, that word, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, that word kill is the Greek Thaisei or Thaisia. And that Greek word literally means animal slaughter. It's the process of slaying an animal in ritual sacrifice. The large majority of the population of Jerusalem got its meat from the temple, which was a slaughterhouse. Jesus came to end the temple sacrificial system, and critical biblical scholars all over the world agree that this is the event that got him crucified. It was the thing that led to his ultimate crucifixion. Everybody knows, you know, Jesus of Nazareth, right? You've heard that phrase, but that's actually a misnomer for Jesus the Nazarene. It's a sectarian title. Nazareth was probably named after the sect. And these were Jews who followed those prophets that were against the priest. And they're well preserved in the early church fathers like Epiphanius as being just like the other Hebrews, except for one key difference. They rejected animal sacrifice and flesh consumption as not laws of God, because they honored thou shalt not kill as applying to not just humans, but animals as well. Because the Isaiah prophecies that I discussed earlier, the lion laying with the lamb and returning to this Edenic kingdom, was their prerogative. They believed that the way to get there is to start honoring not just the poor and the destitute of humans, but also animals. And Jesus was a part of this sect, Jesus the Nazarene. It's very clearly documented. By the way, I am a former fisherman, hunter, church barbecue eater galore. My stepfather owned a barbecue restaurant, and I worked it most of my life. And chewing on these truths that I'm sharing was actually hard for me. It wasn't something I wanted, but once you learn it, you can't unlearn it. You can't unsee it. So I just, you know, ask for you, brother, to keep an open mind.
And we're going to kick back in and see what else Charlie Kirk has got to say.
Jesus ate fish. He fed the 5,000 with fish.
Yeah, so like I said.
I don't understand. But so, Jesus didn't say, stop, don't eat the fish. They are sentient beings. He fed fish to people.
This is a point, first of all, that we touch on in our film, Christspiracy. We really skim the surface, pun intended, I guess, on it. And then I've gone much deeper on this topic on a follow-up video that we made that's on our channel on Christspiracy. Maybe you can put it in the notes, that literally is titled, Did Jesus Eat Fish? There's been such a misunderstanding around these scriptures. Again, like I said, I was the most avid fisherman that you can imagine. I used to go 40 miles offshore every single summer to catch grouper and snapper and all the like. I talk about this in the video on our channel. And much like Charlie, fish was one of the last things that I actually gave up when I started down this path of wanting to respect animals because of these very misunderstandings that Charlie has. So I totally understand and relate to that thought process. But it was only when I began to search deeper with an open mind, I uncovered how many issues and discrepancies there are.
All right, man. There's another good one coming up, actually. I remember an interesting argument.
You would agree, though, animals are not humans.
Yes.
Okay. But you would say, if I eat a steak, am I doing something immoral?
I would say that if you eat a steak knowing that, and you didn't have to, and you chose to pay for an animal.
Yes, I plan to do this tonight. So tell me what.
The Bible calls this the lust of the flesh. A lot of people assume that just refers to like a sexual immoral behavior. But interestingly, when you look at Numbers 11, there's an account of when the Israelites are in the desert after they've been freed from Egypt and crossed the Red Sea, the whole Moses story, right? There's an account that a lot of people who actually go to church probably know that quail fall in the desert and the Israelites eat it. And people will use it to justify like, well, God, you know, the Israelites ate quail in the desert and it seemed like it was from God and blah, blah, blah. And I'm like, you need to read the Numbers 11 account, because the way Numbers accounts for this story, they go to the desert, they're in this wilderness and they're complaining to Moses saying, oh man, back in Egypt, we had all this meat. Like, I'd just rather go be enslaved again so I can eat my meat, my fish, and blah, blah, blah. And Moses is like, God's angry about this. And he says, you know what? You're going to get meat. Quail are coming to fall all around the camp. And you're not just going to eat it for one day, 2 days. You're going to eat so, it's going to be so much meat, it comes out of your nostrils, it says. And so up to that point, they were eating totally just plant-based. But because they were lusting after the flesh, they eat it and they all get sick, and over a third of the camp dies. And then they named a location in the desert the Hebrew word, which means those who lusted after other food. Dude, it's funny because people come at me. I have a video on my Christspiracy YouTube channel where a guy at a debate at a college is like, well, didn't God provide quail in the desert? And I'm like, why don't you just read that passage again? And I get him to read it on camera. And at the end, he goes, all right, man, I'm going vegan. All right. It clicked for him.
That's awesome, dude. Yeah, it's awesome. I'd love to see you get out there and do more of that kind of outreach. It was really cool to see you do that with the Trump guys that time. That would be really cool to see you do more.
Yeah, yeah.
Especially there's now, I think there needs to be good dude. I think there needs to be someone out there spreading message of love and hope and compassion right now, because things seem pretty wild over there for you guys. And what happens with you guys affects the rest of us, so sort it out. we had another super chat from Chris from Critim. I request you to check Arvind, animal activist. He's organizing a debate with content creators who have massive following. This will take veganism to mainstream in India. Love to see you react. Thank you, Critim. I'm good friends with Arvind. He's a legend. I've been following his journey with this, all these debates and stuff. It's super interesting. Yeah, I'm very excited to see Arvind release these debates. And I'll for sure do some reactions when it happens. Again, thanks, Cam, for being here, man. You've smashed it.
I truly hope and pray that violence on this earth continues to get scrutinized and minimized through these types of conversations.
Thanks everybody for being here. Hope you enjoyed it. Hope you found it useful. Please share it if you did.
The next clip we're going to hear is Charlie Kirk's last statement to the vegan Michael, whom he debated.
I do want to thank you, because we'll get to the next question. By the way, you guys, the line's over there. I see. What's going on? It is hard to take an unpopular position. And you've taken a very unpopular public position, of which you should be commended for that.
Here's another very, very short clip from another debate.
So a few weeks ago, you had a debate with a vegan. The video got taken down.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just follow up on that debate.
For our listeners who are interested, I have linked the full debates on my website, vegansradio.com, and that includes the one that was unlisted by Charlie Kirk. So that link is available also. So here's continuing with debate with Charlie Kirk.
The video got taken down.
Yeah.
So I wanted to just follow up on that debate. You mentioned some things such as like feminization of soy or the health implications. What do you make of vegan strongmen? There's plenty of high performing athletes that make it totally viable to live on a plant-based diet. So I think using those as examples, it kind of paints the picture that maybe it's not really required to harm animals if we can get our nutrients from plants.
Okay, yeah, fair enough. So a couple things. I don't love the way that debate went, so we're actually going to repost through some commentary, but yeah.
I have edited it, and here's their last statements.
Thank you for your time. Thank you for the respect. You have the free will. Yes, you have the free will to be vegan, and I wish you a happy life.
All right, thank you. Well, I would just ask you to just consider it again.
Thank you.
That clip was from the YouTube channel Deku, D-E-K-K-U. Charlie Kirk said animals don't have souls. My debate with him at C-S-U-L-B. That completes the program. Thank you very much for tuning in to Vegan Nation. I'm your host, Marlene in Massachusetts. Much thanks to the content creators for sharing this beautiful information. Please join us again next week at the same time. You can hear this program again at vegansradio.com. The music we heard was Go Vegan by Annette Rudat in Germany, and also The Lamb Song by Will Tuttle. This is Marlena, Massachusetts, wishing you a peaceful, lovely, joyous day.